It was on the evening of January 21st, 1972, that Ian the Hunk first did all of his terrible murders in the backwater village of small Townsville, America. And oh, them murders, what he did were...
What are you doing?
Look, have you looked at the iTunes top tens and all the podcast charts? Everything that's doing well at the moment is murder-based, isn't it? So it's that Karen Kilgariff's and, you know, My Best Murders by Ricky Gervais and Carl Pilkington. And
right.
I have no moral quandaries or indeed, you know, respect for myself. So I thought, let's just immediately turn Don't Let's Chat with me, Ben Baker.
And me, Phil Catterall, potentially.
Into a murder cast.
Okay, so this is a terrible idea. And I hate you.
Cool. Don't Let's Chat. So, the first list you've got there, Phil, is the 10 most gruesome, disgusting, violent murders that have been done by someone. Is that correct?
No. We're not doing that. It's horrible.
Just one. Just a couple of arteries spurting.
Don't think it is fluid.
Come on, do it for me, Dad.
This is something else now. This is something else. You've moved on.
I think I have. You've tapped into some weird part of my history I do not need to be part of. So, can we do something dangerous, a bit sort of violent, a bit sort of exciting at least for his first chat today?
I mean, I've got a list of the 10 most dangerous toys of all time. Is that enough for you? Will that get you there?
I mean, kids are basically not humans, aren't they? But they're only half human, aren't they? So yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's like I'm sure just, you know, assault is fine. No, wait, that's not the word I'm thinking of.
No.
Hideous birds.
Well, I mean, we can have a look and see what there is.
Did Hideous Birds play Nathan Barley?
Oh, you just got slightly ahead of me. I was going to go for a grunge band, but that's...
So, you've got the top 10 most dangerous toys of all time list there.
Yes.
Who's that from?
This is from the website Take Justice Back.
Are you sure it's not just juice and it's just a terrible altercation over a drinks trolley?
It's not. It's a campaign to sort of make sure that everyone has access to justice and not just deep pocketed corporations. So that is quite good that they've done that.
I mean, a statement's go is like, you know, justice, quite good. Quite a good thing, I thought.
Yeah, all right.
Not about you. Not if I want to bring my controversial opinions on it.
Yeah, move on.
Right, so what is the first most dangerous toy of all time?
The CSI fingerprint examination kit.
Oh, God, already. We're in a certain time.
Because all the kids are fans of CSI, you could dust things with fingerprint powder, and it came with some brushes, and you could collect your thing. It turned out the powder had up to 5% asbestos in it.
No, I don't know anything about asbestos except it's bad. And it seemed to be in a lot of things in the 60s.
Well, it was to make things fireproof, I believe. It was a flame retardant, but it also causes cancer. But they didn't know that at the time.
So swings and roundabouts, yeah. You know.
So, but basically, they found out about it in November 2007. But CBS Consumer Products decided to leave it on the shelves because it was run up to Christmas. So the Asbestos Disease Awareness Organisation filed a civil action to stop it from being sold. So that's fun.
Oh, no.
That's fun. That's the context for some of these things. That's why they're on the list.
No, at what point did, like, Ian Board Games go, right, can we have a look at this product, please? It said 5% asbestos. Is that a regular amount of asbestos as Monopoly got that? Yeah, it's stress about, you know. It's like, you know, Game of Life, that's about 45% paraffin.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's fine.
I mean, the safe amount of asbestos is, of course... no asbestos, which most of the children's toys managed to contain. So that's fun little starting one.
Yeah, It's like, have you played with little Jenny? Knives for eyes. Contains 57% knives for eyes.
So what, one and a bit eyes? Anyway, move on.
Number two,
magnetics. The building. Magnetic rods and balls. If you are. But yeah, all right.
Sorry. 38 years old.
Yeah. So the issue with these is that they have plastic pieces that could break open that had little magnets in them. And as we all know, swallowing magnets is a bad idea.
Whoa, wait a second. Don't you judge me. Just because I happen to, like, on a weekend, going out with my pals, swallowing a few magnets and magnetic rods, it's just what we do down at Rec Centre. You know.
Yeah. Okay, so the problem with them is that they go into your digestive system and then they sort of find each other via magnetism, despite the fact that they're in different parts of your digestive tract at the time. Yeah, which then, you know... Yeah, so it's not good. So you end up with big masses that twist your intestines around and cut off blood supplies to vital organs. And in 2005, a child died. So magnetics then went, no, there's no record of any similar occurrences involving the toy. It's fine. It's all fine. They'd had loads.
What?
They'd had loads. And again...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like, you have to just take for read that some kids will try and eat whatever it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And indeed, even clever kids think, that glue looks tasty. You know, like, even though they, like, discount it pretty straight away, everyone has that little split second of, idiocy, you know, or indeed just not knowing better.
So yeah, they stayed on the shelves for another 4 months after that and didn't get recalled until the following year, which is really bad.
That is
quite grim.
Horrific.
That is quite grim.
Yeah, if that don't get us up the podcast charts, I don't know what will. At three,
inflatable baby boats. I don't want to go into detail on this one. I really don't. It was to do with the leg straps on them. So the kids just slipped through. Now, no one died, thankfully. But the company concerned had been aware of the problem for about 6 years and just kept making them up until 2009.
What?
Yeah, just kept going.
I'm speechless. Just the idea of going, what a lovely day, we're going out boating lake, put baby in the boat. Vroom. Oh, baby's gone straight through the boat like a fucking torpedo. And it's like
4 million got recalled.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, that is literally the example of, you had one job.
Yep.
You know, I want summer, I can put my baby in, and it's still there 5 seconds later. I mean, I feel that's the minorest of fucking points with an inflatable baby boat. Let's just move on, please, quickly. What's it for?
The Hannah Montana pop star card game. Now.
Oh, we were always playing that up.
We were.
Up community centre. Yeah.
The community centre. Mr. T used to bring it in. Yeah.
You're actually thinking of Bruce Brubaker, the toughest man in the world. Is it you're thinking of? So, Hannah Montana. Was that one Miley Cyrus, or is that one the other one?
That is Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus. Was it? Was
it? Was now. The important thing with any pop star card game, Ben, is that the amount of lead in it remains no more than 40 parts per million. No more than that. You can have up to 40 in your pop star card
game.
Yeah,
that's it. No one's taking that away from you. That's still on the tip.
Now, what you shouldn't do is put 75 times that level into your pop star card game.
What?
I mean, at that point, you have to be...
Where does it even come in?
So you have to be bringing lead into the process and going, just pop that in. Just pop a bit of lead on it. Everyone needs a bit of lead.
Oh, I've got trumps on you. I've got Hannah's radiation poisoning card. It's a shiny. I mean, it's literally shining and glowing.
That wasn't the only thing in 2007, apparently. Apparently, at that point, 35% of all toys on the shelves contained high levels of lead, and 5% contained arsenic or cadmium. Why?
I
So Hannah Montana stayed, the game stayed on the shelves because the lead was found in the vinyl of the cards and not in paint, so it wasn't covered by legislation.
I mean, we all remember the classic Hannah Montana's crippling addiction to lead that she had in every episode. You know, I appreciate it's important, but what is that? That is horrific.
I am baffled. This is 11 years ago, not in like the 40s or something. This is just like, yeah, we put lead in it. What are you going to do about it? Oh, apparently nothing.
Five.
Aquadots.
The magical dots you create, spray, and play. And get ready for the all-new Aquadot Super Studio playset. Start with the design and pop, pop, pop your Aquadots. And here's the trick. Spray with water to make them stick.
Order your Aquadots for $29.95 plus $8.99 shipping and handling. You can call 1-800-621-3093. You must be 18 or older to order.
Sounds great, doesn't it?
It sounds edible.
Well, no. Because the glue in the chemicals metabolized into gamma hydroxybutyrate, also known as GHB.
The drug.
Yep, the drug. The date rape drug, if you will. So lots and lots of kids suddenly started vomiting and lapsing into comas because...
Wait. Lapsing into comas. That's like thrown away. Like, that's horrible.
It is horrible. So the Canadian toy makers blamed Chinese subcontractors and eventually agreed to recall all 4.2 million Aquadot kits that were there. Then they got rebranded as Pixos, and I assume they changed the formulation, but it doesn't say that here.
Yeah, it's just straight ketamine now. It's fine.
They just brand them as different drugs now.
Curse you, science! You've done nothing but badness! I'm going to write a strongly worded letter to the inventor of lead, Ian Lead, after this broke.
What, as well as Steve GHB? Is
that... Six!
Snack time cabbage patch doll. Cabbage patch snack time kid, she really loves to snack.
Wow, she really chews!
Eating her is so much fun.
Your banana's all gone. Let me feed her.
Now, you're a big fan of the Cabbage Patch Doll, Ben. You know that.
In as much as it inspired the Garbage Pail Kids, which inspired the Garbage Pail Kids movie, which inspired a terrible crime spree in the mid-2000s after I saw it. So, yeah, in that respect, yes, a big fan.
So, this one was one that had basically... it came with some food, and you could put the food in its mouth, and it would just take the food through its mouth and it would presumably come out at another end and you could feed it to it. I mean, the problem is that the jaws were basically a one-way battery-powered roller without an off switch. So if you put your finger too near its mouth...
No!
Yeah!
Oh!
So, yeah, fingers and hair. Basically, it was a doll that would try to eat your child.
What the fuck?
Once again, stayed on the shelves until after Christmas...
At which point there were no children alive to buy it, so it was fine.
All the children that had purchased it were consumed by the doll.
And you know what? I'm saying this now because everyone's thinking it. There's at least one pervert out there who did not lose a finger. That's all I'm saying. Moving on very swiftly to seven.
Mini hammocks. You know... Hammocks for kids. Course, yeah. You get them down the hammock district.
Fun, it's fun. Fun hammocks for kids. You know, kids hammocks for kids.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, obviously.
These were like small hammocks that were intended for children. You know how hammocks have like a bar at each end that like keeps it as a hammock instead of, I don't know, a net trap? You know those things, the bars. Bars at the end.
Yeah.
Bars, keep it spread out. Yeah, these didn't have those.
Yeah.
These didn't have those.
What?
Yeah.
How is that even legally a hammock then? That's just,
well,
you know.
Well, that's just a net. It's just a net.
Yeah,
so over the course of the 11 years that these things were on the market, there were quite a few deaths from hammocks.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, no,
this
horrendous.
Is terrible.
It really is.
You know, I thought a bit of child death would be quite funny for this list, but you know what? I'm actually finding it quite upsetting.
Well, I wasn't thinking there was going to be nearly as much death.
No.
Eight. Lawn darts. Now, I've seen these on American TV, and we never. I don't recall them existing in the UK at all.
No,
I
we might don't have many lawns.
Might have been too young for. But essentially, yeah. Someone thought, what's a good idea? I don't know, take a great big bit of metal and put a pointed end on it, and people can throw it. Try and throw it into a ring in the garden. What do you think kids did with a big, sharp, heavy object, Ben? What do you think they did with them?
Kids are idiots at the best of time. Yeah. In that bit in the Bros documentary where they were talking about their favourite game would just be throwing a dart into the roof and seeing if it fell on you.
And we would stay as still as we could for as long before it landed. One time it unfortunately landed Matt's ribs.
My rib. Granddad pulled the dart out, gave it back to me, and we carried on playing. And now you can't even play Conkers in England. Can we start a petition in honour of Bros, please? Can we start an honour of how ridiculous it is that you can't play Conkers, and if you do, you've got to wear goggles.
No, it was being outside, so it was guaranteed to fall on you. It was definitely coming back down.
Fair. I mean, when you are less smart than the Goss brothers, you really have to look at your safety protocols, I guess. Yeah, nine.
The Austin Magic Pistol. This was 1950s, which it notes here, when BB guns weren't considered particularly dangerous. So this managed to get banned in the 1950s to give you an idea of how bad it was.
So that must have been pretty bad.
Yeah, so this used magic crystals, in quotes, made from calcium carbide, which you then mixed with water. The crystals would explode and fire a plastic ball 70 feet or more. The image on here just shows a huge gout of flame coming out of the front of this thing.
Oh, my God. So it's basically my first arson kit.
Kind of. I don't know sort of how volatile calcium carbide is, but looking at this, I would not want anyone to own one of these guns. The fire itself would be bad enough. Presumably the force at which the plastic ball comes out in order for it to go 70 feet, must be properly going some.
And also, I suspect everyone in the advertisements had no eyebrows, which is a bit of a giveaway. Jesus Christ. And finally, the clown stabbing kit, made entirely out of bromide and child's tears.
No, it's the Gilbert U238 Atomic Energy Lab.
No, that's not a thing.
Well, not anymore, no.
That's a joke from Futurama, surely.
Well, it's more of a Fallout joke, I'd say. So in the early 50s, it was marketed as the most elaborate atomic energy educational set ever produced. So it had 4 uranium-bearing ore samples, an order form for more.
It's just American television was obsessed with nuclear power plants and stuff.
Well, yeah, you know. But this was in the 50s, before, you know, where they were, you know, they thought everything was going to be atomically powered, yeah. Despite, you know, cancer being a thing that happens from it. It was too early for, you know, anything really to have. I assume it was too early for anyone to have really known about it. Well, apart from, I suppose, Marie Curie had already died from radio. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. It was a science kit where you could do atomic experiments, as kids in the 50s will want to do. The article here notes that even in an age when science sets routinely came with subjects like potassium nitrate, which is a component of gunpowder, and sodium ferrocyanide, which is a poison, Atomic Energy Lab stands out as being worse.
Wow. I mean, that does sound like my first Bond villain.
It really does.
Steeped in mysticism and superstition, developed by modern science, chemistry is today a fascinating adventure for youth of all ages. Gilbert has made this exciting science available in safe and easy to understand form.
So, you know, you wanted murder. I gave you, at worst, corporate manslaughter.
Thanks, Take Just Juice Back. I will be in no way buying any toys for any children ever again. And if they cry and say it's Christmas Day or my birthday, I'll just say...
You say, shut up or I will buy you an Austin Magic pistol and you will regret it.
Right, next, a bit of... It's the top 10 singles from the UK charts that mention murder. And I bet you can't guess what the top selling on this chart is. I bet you can't guess.
Is it Murder on the Dance Floor by Sophie Ellis Bextor? Is that what it is, Ben?
Yeah.
I mean, that's that is the only song I can think of that mentions murder, really. So that's why I guessed that one. But I'm not surprised.
I mean, after that, it's like, number two is a single by Wasp called Chainsaw Charlie Murders in the New Morgue.
I mean, none of that sounds real, so fine, but I believe you. Yeah. I'm just saying, it sounds like something you would make up as a joke.
Weirdly, there's been three albums in the UK top 10 to mention the word murder.
Right.
And just by quizzes, I own all of them. Okay. It's a bit worrying. At peak at number 8 was Murder Ballads by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
Okay.
And then 6 was The Crawl After the Murder by Incubus. They're only number one, actually, for a studio album. Do you know what it is? Can you ever guess?
I genuinely don't know.
Think racist fat idiot.
Oh. Is it Meat is Murder? Is that...
It is Meat is Murder, by the sense. Oh, dear. So, as you've ruined me fantastic self-respecting style pop top 10, I'm going to look at something else which happened on this date. Mm-hmm. It was a death. Who was your best president out of all the presidents?
Out of all the presidents?
Yeah.
I would say it's probably one of the Roosevelts, to be honest. That would be one of the best ones. Probably one of the Roosevelts. To narrow it down to two.
Yeah, I ain't got that. I've got 10 facts about Richard Nixon, who died on this day in 1994.
Okay.
And as a bit of fun, it's a quiz section of the podcast. I've changed one of the words in each of these facts. You have to tell me which word I've changed and what the actual word should be. So, okay. For example, if I said Richard Nixon was a Quaker.
Is it Quaker?
It was Quaker. Yeah. It's good. It's clever. It's clever. It's clever like that.
No, it's good.
Right. Number one, Richard Nixon, when he was younger, wanted to join Fully Booked Interactive.
Is it the FBI, Ben?
It is the FBI. You've spotted the Sunday morning television.
Because even Richard Nixon would not want to work with Vernon Kay.
Correct. Number two, in 1960, Nixon ran for a Twix and lost to JFK.
Is it president instead of Twix?
Which word have I replaced?
Is it Twix?
It was that. Well done. Three, after losing the election for California Dreams in 1962, Nixon moved to New York.
Right, instead of Dreams, is it Governor, Ben?
It is Governor. Although I wish he had been joining the early 90s Saved by the Bell knockoff boy-girl group. Surf dudes.
Is it technically a knockoff when it's one of Peter Engel's many? Could I just copy paste this and do a find replace high school to band?
Oh, God.
Or in the case of USA High, just copy paste the location. Or in the case of Hang Time, don't. Anyway.
In 1968. Nixon earned the nomination for president and beat Vice President Jake Humphrey to win the election.
It is Jake Humphrey, but I can't remember who was Vice President. Was it Gerald Ford? No, it wasn't Gerald Ford. It was LBJ, wasn't it?
Yeah, Hubert Humphrey. Well done.
Oh, okay. Fuck.
Number five. Nixon welcomed home the Queen's Park Rangers starting 11 astronauts after their historic 1969 moon landing.
Now, is it Queen's Park Rangers starting that should be replaced with Apollo?
I don't know if you spotted that ruse correct. Well done. He had a Kirstie Alley installed under the White House. I know, it's tricky. It could be any of them words. Could be any of them.
Yeah. It's not Kirstie Alley. It should be George Wendt.
Correct. We lose. every home needs a George Wendt.
Oh, he is available at reasonable rates, I imagine.
Yeah. It was, of course, Kirstie Alley's less popular sister.
Bowling.
In 1974, Nixon resigned from the presidency due to the events surrounding Waterworld.
Look, it made its money back, Ben. It was a financial success. I don't know why everyone's got such a downer on it. It's not that bad.
Yes, all right, it's fine. Men out of wood.
I refuse to answer this question. I will not have Waterworld impugned in this way.
8. Nixon wrote 10 bestsellers on domestos and international affairs. Oh, I love that you're taking this quiz seriously. Very important tribute to our glorious goose.
It wasn't domestos, it was domestic. It was domestic.
It was domestic.
Thank you.
On December 21st, 1970, Nixon greeted one of the more colourful characters to ever enter the White House, the singer Butts Carlton.
This is the stupidest quiz you've ever done. Why am I still laughing at it?
I'm going to have to rush you for an answer.
Well, I mean,
there's one of the singers, you know, the singers. You've seen them.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's not Butts. That's the problem. It's not Butts.
I mean, it's neither of those words.
No, I give up.
He's Elvis Presley.
Of course it was.
Very much the Butts Carlton of his generation.
Well, no, because he existed.
And finally, please listen carefully to this one. This is a very, very difficult one.
Right.
In office, Nixon was determined to achieve peace with honour and end the war in your mum's bum.
You fucking dickhead.
And that concludes Nixon Best Quiz, R.I.P. Oh, Christ.
I'm in pain.
Suck it to me.
Looking really marvellous is making Marvel part of your calorie-controlled diet. Marvel's made from pure fresh milk that has almost no fat and around half the calories per pint. So if you want to slim and keep in trim, it's marvellous what Marvel can do.
You can't move anywhere at the moment of the time we're recording this without posters for Them Avengers Endgame.
Yes.
So, can we, in the most crass way possible, combine the most popular thing at the moment, which is superheroes, with the second most popular thing, murders?
Yeah, we can, because I typed murders and Marvel into Google. And
bloody lovely, isn't
it? It's great, isn't it? And, I mean, this is a few years old, admittedly, but it'd be fine. Morphsuits.co.uk. Are you familiar with Morph Suits, Ben?
No,
that is not Morph. No. So what they've done is they've looked at the deadliest killers in, I mean, they've specified here Earth 616, which is your main Marvel continuity universe, because there's lots of other Earths. So this is the main one. And they have listed who has done the most killings. Now, they've categorised these into dangerous, deadly, and lethal. Now, I don't want to go through all the dangerous ones, because they've only done, like, at most 8 killings. The only one that I do want to note is that in the dangerous bracket is that Captain America is in there. He's got 6 kills to his name. One of them, and it's got like a few notable kills for each of this list. One of them is Harry S. Truman, as in the former US president. Now, I had to go and look this up because I know some comic stuff. I wasn't aware that Captain America had murdered a US president. And it turns out that what actually happened was that someone raised Harry S. Truman from the dead as a zombie and Captain America killed that. So I have a comic I need to go and find at this point. So we need to get through this list quickly.
We've got a film that needs making. Too sweet, pal. I'd love to watch that.
So yeah.
These are the 10 deadliest Marvel characters
that have done the most killings. Yeah.
Did not kill a former president, to the best of our knowledge.
Yeah.
At ten,
Black Widow, who we all know from the films, got nine kills. Nine.
That seems quite small, considering she's a professional assassin.
Well, yeah, that's nine that we know of. We don't know how many she did while she was, like, you know, a Soviet assassin.
Nine.
Magneto. This is a lot lower than I was expecting.
So Magneto is the bad guy from the X-Men films, isn't it?
Yes. Ten kills, according to this. I'm surprised there's not more, given that he sort of, his whole deal is just hating human beings.
Eight.
Iron Man. Now, he's
famous for going round and murdering.
So he's got 11 kills on here, so one more than Magneto. What they've done, interestingly, is they've broken these kills down into, like, heroes, villains, and neutrals. Only one of Iron Man's is a villain. Everyone else that he killed is either a good guy or meh. So that's fun. Wow. Old good guy Iron Man. Hooray.
Is it seven, Jesus Christ?
No, seven is X-23.
Oh, big fan of all of his work. I missed the first 22, but I'm catching up. So
X-23 is a female clone of Wolverine. She's got 11 kills, all of which were either bad or neutral. So technically, she's batting better than Iron Man, and she she was, like Wolverine, a brainwashed assassin. So, you know.
Six.
Sabretooth. You're Wolverine,
well?
Wolverine villain type, yeah. He was, what's his name? The one that was in the Wolverine, who played him in that? Big bloke.
Jeff, Mike Reed.
No. I forgot his bloody name.
Oh, yeah, Big Daddy.
What's his name?
Enormous Ken.
Oh, yeah, Enormous Ken, that's his name. Liev Schreiber plays him.
Oh, yeah.
And he's quite good in this. So he's got 15 kills, only three good guys. So again, batting better than Iron Man. Iron Man really not coming out of this very well.
I hope people listen to this on the way to the cinema.
Yeah, Iron Man, bastard, is the conclusion you can draw from this.
Five.
Thor. So Thor's got 15 to his name. Only two good guys. So again, it's one of those where, yeah, you're a godlike being that you know, carries a massive hammer with him. You're probably going to get some murders.
Not murdering people is a lot harder.
It really is. What are your powers? Massive bolts of lightning and hitting people with a hammer. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 15 for him. Really, I'm struggling not to just compare all these to Iron Man.
Four.
Namor?
Four.
Namor?
Oh, wait, yeah, that would right. Funny, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would have been, but it was wrong. Namor, I'm not sure how you pronounce it.
Let's call the whole thing fish.
So, traditionally a Fantastic Four villain. So, he was around in the 40s as a villain, then he was more of an anti-hero during World War II, and then he became a Fantastic Four villain again, and he sort of bounces backwards and forwards a bit. So, despite the fact, spends a reasonable amount of time as a villain, only two hero kills to his name. 16 total.
Anyone we've heard of? Any good heroes?
Any good heroes? His notable kills that they've listed on here are Leviathan, the man with no face, and Master Khan. So Master Khan, not card.
You know that animated access card that came with life in the adverts. Money. Three.
So we're into the lethal category now. These are the the big kills. So we go from 16 kills from Namor, however you pronounce it, to 34 for Frank Castle, the Punisher.
The Punisher's only number three.
Yeah.
Character which, as far as I'm aware, is just a guy who shoots people in the face.
Mostly.
Because he's annoyed.
Yeah, well, I mean, not just annoyed. His backstory is fairly tragic, so let's give him that. So a reminder, Iron Man has five hero kills. How many do you think the Punisher has, Ben?
I mean, you'd assume double, but because it's Iron Man, I'm going to say less.
Yeah, it's four. Four. It's four.
Is it four?
It's four.
Two.
Deadpool.
Oh, yeah.
36 kills. 36 kills. Would you like to guess how many hero kills he's got?
It's less than five.
It is less than five.
Three.
Two. A character that was basically introduced as a villain.
Wow. That is something. And presumably by this trend as it's going, number one is Natcha.
No.
407 kills.
Okay.
Softies.
So, our number one is 10 kills ahead of Deadpool with 46. It's Wolverine.
Fair enough.
Now, he has beaten Iron Man. He has got 7 hero kills. But that still does leave 39 villains and other. So yeah, 46 proper good murders from anti-hero Wolverine.
I think the best one was the one where he went back in time and started a circus. And he just kept singing at people. And to be honest, I didn't understand it. But, you know, 3 stars, some funny bits. And that bloodshed brings us to an upsetting conclusion.
This has generally been an upsetting episode, hasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. When I set out to do an episode about murder, who knew it were going to be so distressing? If you'd like to tweet your disgust at us, I'm at Ben Baker Books on Twitter, and Phil is at Phil5000, F-I-L. Or you can, you know, just like send just death threats to us. Ian Led.
Send your complaints to Ian Led and Steve Uranium. Send it to them. And Keith Hammock.
Tiny Hammocks only. Keith Tiny Hammocks. Do a subscribe.
Yes,
tell
please.
All your friends.
Maybe.
Don't do any murders.
Definitely not.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Four generations of American youth have grown up with Erector, the toy that has become as much a part of our life as baseball and hot dogs.